Blackstone Audio presents Happiness, Essential Mindfulness Practices by Thich Nhat Hanh. This book is read by Eduardo Ballerini. Introduction. Mindfulness is the energy of being aware and awake to the present. It is the continuous practice of touching life deeply in every moment. Practicing mindfulness does not require that we go anywhere different. We can practice mindfulness in our room, or on our way from one place to another. We can do very much the same things we always do, walking, sitting, working, eating, talking, except we learn to do them with an awareness of what we are doing. Imagine you're standing with a group of people contemplating a beautiful sunrise, but while others drink in the view, you struggle. You're preoccupied with your projects and worries. You think about the future and the past. You're not really present to appreciate the experience. So rather than enjoy the sunrise, you let the richness of the moment slip by. Suppose instead you took a different approach. What if, as your mind wanders, you direct your focus to your in-breath and out-breath? As you practice breathing deeply, you bring yourself back to the present. Your body and mind come together as one, allowing you to be fully available to witness, contemplate, and enjoy the scenery. By going home to your breath, you regain the wonder of the sunrise. We often become so busy that we forget what we're doing or who we are. I know many people who say they even forget to breathe. We forget to look at the people we love and to appreciate them until they're gone. Even when we have some leisure time, we don't know how to get in touch with what is going on inside us. So we turn on the television or pick up the telephone as if we might be able to escape from ourselves. Awareness of the breath is the essence of mindfulness. According to the Buddha, mindfulness is the source of happiness and joy. The seed of mindfulness is in each of us, but we usually forget to water it. If we know how to take refuge in our breath, in our step, then we can touch our seeds of peace and joy and allow them to manifest for our enjoyment. Instead of taking refuge in an abstract notion of God, Buddha, or Allah, we realize that God can be touched in our breath and our step. This sounds easy, and everyone can do it, but it takes some training. The practice of stopping is crucial. How do we stop? We stop by means of our in-breath, our out-breath, and our step. That is why our basic practice is mindful breathing and mindful walking. If you master these practices, then you can practice mindful eating, mindful drinking, mindful cooking, mindful driving, and so on. And you are always with peace and happiness. Our practice is the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness of breathing, walking, eating, dishwashing, and cooking, always dwelling in the here and the now, and not allowing ourselves to be pulled away by worries, projects for the future, or regrets about the past. The practice of mindfulness, smriti in Sanskrit, leads to concentration, samadhi, which in turn leads to insight, prajna. The insight we gain from mindfulness meditation can liberate us from fear, anxiety, and anger, allowing us to be truly happy. We can practice mindfulness using something as simple as a flower. When I hold a flower in my hand, I'm aware of it. My in-breath and out-breath help me maintain my awareness. Rather than becoming overwhelmed by other thoughts, I sustain my enjoyment of the flower's beauty. Concentration itself becomes a source of joy. If we want to fully enjoy life's gifts, we must practice mindfulness at every turn. Whether we're brushing our teeth, cooking our breakfast, or driving to work, every step and every breath can be an opportunity for joy and happiness. Life is full of suffering. If we don't have enough happiness on reserve, we have no means to take care of our despair. Enjoy your practice with a relaxed and gentle attitude, with an open mind and a receptive heart. Practice for understanding, and not for the form or appearance. With mindfulness, we can preserve an inner joy, so that we can better handle the challenges in our lives. We can create a foundation of freedom, peace, and love within ourselves. Daily practices. Conscious breathing. In our daily life, we breathe, but we forget that we're breathing. The foundation of all mindfulness practice is to bring our attention to our in-breath and out-breath. This is called mindfulness of breathing, or conscious breathing. It's very simple, but the effect can be very great. In our daily life, although our body is in one place, our mind is often in another. Paying attention to our in-breath and out-breath brings our mind back to our body. And suddenly, we are there, fully present in the here and the now. Conscious breathing is like drinking a glass of cool water. As we breathe in, we really feel the air filling our lungs. We don't need to control our breath. We feel the breath as it actually is. It may be long or short, deep or shallow. In the light of our awareness, it will naturally become slower and deeper. Conscious breathing is the key to uniting body and mind and bringing the energy of mindfulness into each moment of our life. Regardless of our internal weather, our thoughts, emotions, and perceptions, our breathing is always with us, like a faithful friend. Whenever we feel carried away, sunk in a deep emotion, or caught in thoughts about the past or the future, we can return to our breathing to collect and anchor our mind. Practice. While you breathe in and out, feel the flow of air coming in and going out of your nose. At first, your breathing may not be relaxed, but after practicing conscious breathing for a while, you will feel how light and natural, how calm and peaceful your breathing has become. Anytime you're walking, gardening, typing, or doing anything at all, you can return to this peaceful source of life. You can say to yourself, "Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out." After a few breaths, you may want to shorten this to in, out. If you follow your in-breath and out-breath all the way through, your mind is no longer thinking. Now your mind has a chance to rest. In our daily life, we think too much. Giving our mind a chance to stop thinking is wonderful. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in, isn't a thought. It's a simple awareness that something is happening, that you are breathing in and out. When you breathe in and bring your attention to your in-breath, you bring your mind back to a reunion with your body. Just one in-breath can help the mind come back to the body. When body and mind come together, you can be truly in the present moment. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in, is another way of saying, breathing in, I feel alive. Life is in you and life is around you. Life with all its wonders. The sunshine, the blue sky, the autumn leaves. It's very important to go home to the present moment to get in touch with the healing, refreshing, and nourishing elements of life inside and around you. A light smile can relax all the muscles of your face. Breathing in, I recognize the blue sky. Breathing out, I smile to the blue sky. Breathing in, I'm aware of the beautiful autumn leaves. Breathing out, I smile to the beautiful autumn leaves. You can shorten this to blue sky on the in-breath and smiling on the out-breath. Then autumn leaves on the in-breath and smiling on the out-breath. When you practice breathing like this, it puts you in touch with all these wonders of life. The beauty of life is nourishing you. You are free from your worries and fears. You get in touch with your breath and with your body. Your body is a wonder. Your eyes are a wonder. You need only to open your eyes to be able to touch the paradise of forms and colors that's available. Your ears are a wonder. Thanks to your ears, you can hear all kinds of sounds. Music, birdsong, and the wind blowing through the pine trees. When you pay attention to your in-breath and out-breath, you bring yourself home to the present moment, to the here and the now, and you are in touch with life. If you were to continue to be lost in the past or run to the future, you'd miss all of that. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way through. Breathing out, I follow my out-breath all the way through. In the beginning, you may notice that your breathing may feel labored or awkward. Your breath is a result of your body and feelings. If your body has tension or pain, if your feelings are painful, then your breath is affected. Bring your attention to your breath and breathe mindfully. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Breathing in, I smile to my in-breath. Breathing out, I smile to my out-breath. Never force your breath. If your in-breath is short, let it be short. If it's not very peaceful, let it be like that. We don't intervene, force, or work on our breath. We just become aware of it. And after some time, the quality of our breathing will improve naturally. Mindfulness of breathing identifies and embraces our in-breath and out-breath, like a mother going home to her child and embracing her child tenderly in her arms. You'll be surprised to see that after 1 or 2 minutes, the quality of your breathing will improve. Your in-breath will become deeper. Your out-breath will become slower. Your breathing becomes more peaceful and harmonious. Breathing in, I notice that my in-breath has become deeper. Breathing out, I notice that my out-breath has become slower. When you notice that your in-breath and out-breath have become more peaceful, deeper, and slower, you can offer that peace, calm, and harmony to your body. In your daily life, you may neglect and ignore your body. Now is your chance to come home to your body, recognize its existence, get reacquainted, and make friends with it. Breathing in, I'm aware of my body. Breathing out, I release all the tension in my body. These breathing exercises come from the Buddha himself. They're very easy, like child's play. If it's helpful, put your hand on your belly. You'll notice that when you breathe in, your stomach is rising, and when you breathe out, your stomach is falling. Rising, falling. Especially in the lying position, it's easy to feel your abdomen rising and falling. You're aware of your in-breath and out-breath from the beginning to the end. Breathing like this is enjoyable. You aren't thinking anymore of the past, of the future, of your projects, of your suffering. Breathing becomes a pleasure, a reminder of life itself. Breathing in, I enjoy my in-breath. Breathing out, I enjoy my out-breath. Later on, after you've been able to offer that peace and harmony to your body, helping it to release the tension, then you can identify your feelings and emotions. Breathing in, I'm aware of the painful feeling in me. Breathing out, I smile to the painful feeling in me. There's a painful feeling, but there's also mindfulness. Mindfulness is like a mother, embracing the feeling tenderly. Mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. When you breathe mindfully, that is mindfulness of breathing. When you walk mindfully, that is mindfulness of walking. When you drink mindfully, that is mindfulness of drinking. When you're mindful of your feelings, that's mindfulness of feeling. Mindfulness can be brought to intervene in every physical and mental event, bringing recognition and relief. I'd like to offer you a practice poem you can recite from time to time while breathing and smiling. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. As my in-breath grows deep, my out-breath grows slow. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I feel at ease. Breathing in, I smile. Breathing out, I release. Dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a wonderful moment. You can shorten this to the words below, one word or phrase per breath. In, out, deep, slow, calm, ease, smile, release. Present moment, wonderful moment. The present moment is the only moment that is real. Your most important task is to be here and now and enjoy the present moment. Sitting meditation. Sitting meditation is a way for us to return home and give full attention and care to ourselves. Every time we sit down, whether it is in our living room, at the foot of a tree, or on a cushion, we can radiate tranquility like the Buddha sitting on an altar. We bring our full attention to what is within and around us. We let our mind become spacious and our heart soft and kind. With just a few minutes of sitting in this way, we can restore ourselves fully. When we sit down peacefully, breathing and smiling with awareness, we have sovereignty over ourselves. Sitting meditation is very healing. We can just be with whatever is within us, whether it is pain, anger, irritation, joy, love, or peace. We are with whatever is there without being carried away. We let it come, let it stay, then let it go. We have no need to push, to oppress, or to pretend our thoughts are not there. Instead, we can observe the thoughts and images in our mind with an accepting and loving eye. Despite the storms that arise in us, we're still and calm. Sitting and breathing, we produce our true presence in the here and the now and offer it to our community and to the world. This is the purpose of sitting. Being here, fully alive, and fully present. Practice. Sitting meditation should be a joy. Sit in such a way that you feel happy and relaxed for the entire length of the sitting. Sitting is not hard labor. It's an opportunity to enjoy your own presence, the presence of your family or fellow practitioners, the earth, the sky, and the cosmos. There's no effort. If you sit on a cushion, be sure it's the right thickness to support you. You can sit in the full or half lotus position, a simple cross-legged position, or however you feel most comfortable. Keep your back straight and your hands folded gently in your lap. If you sit in a chair, be sure your feet are flat on the floor or on a cushion. If your legs or feet fall asleep or begin to hurt during the sitting, just adjust your position mindfully. You can maintain your concentration by following your breathing and slowly and attentively changing your posture. Allow all the muscles in your body to relax. Don't fight or struggle. There are people who, after 15 minutes of sitting meditation, feel pain all over their body because they're making an effort to sit or striving to succeed in their sitting meditation. Just allow yourself to be relaxed, as if you were sitting by the ocean. While sitting, begin by following your in-breath and out-breath. Whenever a feeling comes up, recognize it. Whenever a thought arises, identify it and recognize it. You can learn a lot from observing what's going on in your body and mind during the sitting meditation. Most of all, sitting is a chance for you to do nothing. You have nothing at all to do. Just enjoy sitting and breathing in and out. Breathing in, I know I'm alive. Breathing out, I smile to life in me and around me. Being alive is a miracle. Just sitting there enjoying your in-breath and out-breath is already happiness. Since you're breathing in and out, you know that you're alive. That's something worth celebrating. So sitting meditation is a way to celebrate life with your in-breath and your out-breath. It's important to allow your body to relax completely. Don't try to become a Buddha. Just enjoy sitting and accept yourself as you are. Even if there's some tension in your body, some pain in your heart, accept yourself like that. With the energy of mindfulness of breathing, you embrace your body and your mind. You allow yourself to be in a relaxed position and enjoy your breathing. Breathing in, I have arrived. Breathing out, I feel at home. You don't need to run anymore. Your true home is in the here and the now. You are solid and free. You can smile, relaxing all the muscles in your face. We need some training to be successful in our sitting. We're so used to always doing something with our mind, with our body, that sitting down and doing nothing can be difficult at first. When Nelson Mandela came to France to visit French President François Mitterrand, the press asked Mr. Mandela what he'd like to do the most. He said, "What I want to do the most is to just sit down and do nothing. Since my release from prison, I've been so busy with no time to sit or breathe, so what I want the most is just to sit down and not do anything." If we gave Nelson Mandela a few days to sit and do nothing, would he know how to do it? Because sitting and doing nothing doesn't seem to be very easy for most of us. We're used to always doing something. We need some training to be able to sit and enjoy the sitting, to do nothing and enjoy doing nothing. Each of us has the habit energy of always having to be doing something. If we're not doing something, we can't stand it. So just sitting down and doing nothing is an art. The art of sitting meditation. If you're having trouble concentrating, counting is an excellent technique. Breathing in, count one. Breathing out, count one. Breathing in, count two. Breathing out, count two. Continue up to 10, and then start counting over again. If at any time you forget where you are, begin again with 1. The method of counting helps us refrain from dwelling on troublesome thoughts. Instead, we concentrate on our breathing and the number. When we have developed some control over our thinking, counting may become tedious, and we can abandon it and just follow the breath. If you approach meditation as a fight to arrive somewhere, and you try hard to achieve success, you won't be able to relax. Look out the window. Perhaps there's a linden tree or an oak tree out there. The tree is beautiful and healthy, being entirely itself. It doesn't seem that the tree is making any effort at all. It allows itself to be fresh, green, stable. Perhaps the tree is on a mountain. The mountain is strong and solid, supporting all kinds of life without strain or effort. When you practice sitting meditation, you are stable and solid like a mountain. You can practice like this. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I enjoy my solidity. To succeed in your sitting, release the tension in your body and in your feelings. Get comfortable in your seated body. When you begin to breathe in and out, enjoy the breathing in, the breathing out. Give up any struggle and enjoy sitting and smiling. This is a privileged moment, having the opportunity to sit quietly like this. You are your own island. Nobody at this moment can ask you to do anything. Nobody will disturb you. No one has the right to ask you a question or to ask you to go and wash the pots or clean the bathroom. This is your precious opportunity to relax and be yourself. Walking meditation. The mind can go in 1,000 directions, but on this beautiful path I walk in peace. With each step, a gentle wind blows. With each step, a flower blooms. We walk all the time, but usually it's more like running. Our hurried steps print anxiety and sorrow on the earth. If we can take one step in peace, we can take 2, 3, 4, and then 5 steps for the peace and happiness of humankind and the earth. Walking meditation is walking just to enjoy walking. Walking without arriving, that is the technique. There is a Sanskrit word, apranihita. It means wishlessness or aimlessness. The idea is that we do not put anything ahead of ourselves and run after it. When we practice walking meditation, we walk in the spirit. We just enjoy the walking, with no particular aim or destination. Our walking is not a means to an end. We walk for the sake of walking. Our mind tends to dart from one thing to another, like a monkey swinging from branch to branch without stopping to rest. Thoughts have millions of pathways, and they forever pull us along into the world of forgetfulness. If we can transform our walking path into a field for meditation, our feet will take every step in full awareness. Our breathing will be in harmony with our steps, and our mind will naturally be at ease. Every step we take will reinforce our peace and joy, and cause a stream of calm energy to flow through us. Then we can say, with each step, a gentle wind blows. You can practice walking meditation any time you walk, even if it's only from the car to the office or from the kitchen to the living room. When you walk anywhere, allow enough time to practice. Instead of 3 minutes, give yourself 8 or 10. I always leave for the airport an extra hour early so I can practice walking meditation there. Friends want to keep me until the last minute, but I resist. I tell them that I need the time. Walking meditation is like eating. With each step, we nourish our body and our spirit. When we walk with anxiety and sorrow, it's a kind of junk food. The food of walking meditation should be of a higher quality. Just walk slowly and enjoy a banquet of peace. A.J. Musta said, "There is no way to peace. Peace is the way." Walking in mindfulness brings us peace and joy and makes our life real. Why rush? Our final destination will only be the cemetery. Why not walk in the direction of life, enjoying peace in each moment with every step? There's no need to struggle. Enjoy every step you make. Every step brings you home to the here and the now. This is your true home, because only in this moment, in this place, can life be possible. We have already arrived. The earth is our mother. When we are away from Mother Nature for too long, we get sick. Each step we take in walking meditation allows us to touch our mother so that we can be well again. A lot of harm has been done to Mother Earth, so now it is time to kiss the earth with our feet and heal our mother. Some of us may not be able to walk. When we practice walking meditation at our retreats, each person who can't walk chooses someone who is practicing walking meditation to watch and become one with, following her steps in mindfulness. In this way, he makes peaceful and serene steps together with his partner, even though he himself cannot walk. We who have two legs must not forget to be grateful. We walk for ourselves, and we walk for those who cannot walk. We walk for all living beings, past, present, and future. Practice. When you begin to practice walking meditation, you might feel unbalanced, like a baby taking her first steps. Follow your breathing, dwell mindfully on your steps, and soon you will find your balance. Visualize a tiger walking slowly, and you will find that your steps become as majestic as hers. You may like to start by practicing walking meditation in the morning, allowing the energy of the pure morning air to enter you. Your movements will become smooth, and your mind will become alert. Throughout the day, you will find you have a heightened awareness of your actions. When you make decisions after walking meditation, you will find that you are more calm and clear, and have more insight and compassion. With each peaceful step you take, all beings, near and far, will benefit. As you walk, pay attention to each step you make. Walk slowly, don't rush. Each step brings you into the best moment of your life. In walking meditation, you practice being aware of the number of steps you make with each breath. Notice each breath and how many steps you take as you breathe in and breathe out. In walking meditation, we match our steps to our breath, and not the other way around. When you breathe in, take 2 or 3 steps, depending on the capacity of your lungs. If your lungs want 2 steps while breathing in, then give exactly 2 steps. If you feel better with 3 steps, then give yourself 3 steps. When you breathe out, also listen to your lungs. Know how many steps your lungs want you to make while breathing out. When you first start practicing, your in-breath is usually shorter than your out-breath. So you might start your practice with 2 steps for the in-breath and 3 for the out-breath. 2-3-2-3-2-3. Or 3-4-3-4-3-4. But later on, it may become more even. 2-2. Or 3-3. As we continue, our breathing naturally becomes slower and more relaxed. If you feel you need to make 1 more step while breathing in, then allow yourself to enjoy that. Whenever you feel that you want to make 1 more step while breathing out, then allow yourself to have 1 more step breathing out. Every step should be enjoyable. Don't try to control your breathing. Allow your lungs as much time and air as they need, and simply notice how many steps you take as your lungs fill up and how many you take as they empty, being mindful of both your breath and your steps. The link is the counting. When you walk uphill or downhill, the number of steps per breath will change. Always follow the needs of your lungs. Observe them deeply. Don't forget to practice smiling. Your half-smile will bring calm and delight to your steps and your breath, and help sustain your attention. After practicing for half an hour or an hour, you will find that your breath, your steps, your counting, and your half-smile come together easily. After some time of practice, you will find that the in-breath and the out-breath will become closer in length. Your lungs will be healthier, and your blood will circulate better. Your way of breathing will have been transformed. We can practice walking meditation by counting steps or by using words. If the rhythm of our breathing is 3-3, for example, we can say silently, "Lotus flower blooms, lotus flower blooms," or the green planet," as we walk. If our breathing rhythm is 2-3, we might say, lotus flower blooms." If we are taking 5 in-breaths and 5 out-breaths, we may say, "Walking on the green planet, walking on the green planet," or "Walking on the green planet, I'm walking on the green planet," for 5-6. We don't just say the words. We really see flowers blooming under our feet. We really become one with our green planet. Feel free to use your own creativity and wisdom to create your own words. Here are some that I wrote. "Peace is every step. The shining red sun is my heart. Each flower smiles with me. How green, how fresh all that grows. How cool the wind blows. Peace is every step. It turns the endless path to joy." Every day you walk somewhere, so adding walking meditation to your life doesn't take a lot of additional time or require you to go anywhere different. Choose a place, a staircase, your driveway, or the distance from one tree to another, to do walking meditation every day. Every path can be a walking meditation path. Waking up. We can start our day with the happiness of a smile and the aspiration to dedicate ourselves to the path of love and understanding. We are aware that today is a fresh new day, and we have 24 precious hours to live. Practice. As you wake up in the morning and open your eyes, you may like to recite this gatha. "Waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live fully in each moment and to look at all beings with eyes of compassion." The last line of this gatha comes from the Lotus Sutra. The one who looks at all beings with eyes of compassion is Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva who listens deeply to the cries of the world. In the sutra, this line reads, "Eyes of loving kindness look on all living beings." Love is impossible without understanding. In order to understand others, we must know them and be inside their skin. Then we can treat them with loving kindness. The source of love is our fully awakened mind. After you wake up, you probably open the curtains and look outside. You may even like to open the window and feel the cool morning air with the dew still on the grass. When you open the window and look out, see that life is infinitely marvelous. At that very moment, you can vow to be awake all day long, realizing joy, peace, freedom, and harmony. When you do this, your mind becomes clear like a calm river. Try to get up from bed right away after enjoying 3 deep breaths to bring yourself into mindfulness. Don't delay waking. You may like to sit up and gently massage your head, neck, shoulders, and arms to get your blood circulating. You may like to do a few stretches to loosen your joints and wake up your body. Drinking a cup of warm water is also good for our system first thing in the morning. Wash yourself, or do what you need to before heading to work or school or to the meditation hall. Allow enough time so you don't have to rush. If it's still early, enjoy the dark morning sky. Many stars are twinkling and greeting us. Take deep breaths and enjoy the cool, fresh air. As you walk slowly to the car, to school, to work, or to the meditation hall, let the morning fill your being, awakening your body and mind to the joy of a new day. What better way to start the day than with a smile? Your smile affirms your awareness and determination to live in peace and joy. How many days slip by in forgetfulness? What are you doing with your life? Look deeply and smile. The source of a true smile is an awakened mind. How can you remember to smile when you wake up? You might hang a reminder, such as a branch, a leaf, a painting, or some inspiring words in your window or from the ceiling above your head. Once you develop the practice of smiling, you may not need a sign. You will smile as soon as you hear a bird sing or see the sunlight stream through the window, and this will help you approach the day with more gentleness and understanding. The bell. Sometimes we need a sound to remind us to return to our conscious breathing. We call these sounds bells of mindfulness. In Plum Village and the other practice centers in my tradition, we stop whenever we hear the telephone ringing, the clock chiming, or the monastery bell sounding. These are our bells of mindfulness. When we hear the sound of the bell, we stop talking and stop moving. We relax our body and become aware of our breathing. We do it naturally, with enjoyment, and without solemnity or stiffness. When we stop to breathe and restore our calm and our peace, we become free. Our work becomes more enjoyable, and the friend in front of us becomes more real. Sometimes our bodies may be home, but we're not truly home. Our mind is elsewhere. The bell can help bring the mind back to the body. That's how we practice in a temple, because the bell can help us to go back to ourselves, back to the present moment. We consider the bell to be a friend, a bodhisattva that helps us to wake up to ourselves again. At home, we can use the ringing of the telephone, the local church bells, the cry of a baby, or even the sound of a siren or a car alarm as our bells of mindfulness. With just 3 conscious breaths, we can release the tension in our body and mind and return to a cool, clear state of being. In Vietnam, I was used to hearing the sound of the Buddhist temple bell. When I came to the West, there was no Buddhist bell. I only heard the church bell. One day, when I'd been in Europe for several years, I was doing walking meditation in Prague. Suddenly, I heard the sound of the church bell, and for the first time, I was able to touch deeply the soul of ancient Europe. Since then, every time I hear the church bell, whether it's in Switzerland or France or Russia, I deeply touch the soul of Europe. For those of us who don't train ourselves, the sound of the bell doesn't mean much. But if we train ourselves, the sound will have a very spiritual meaning for us and will wake up the most wonderful things inside us. In our tradition, we don't say striking the bell. We say inviting the bell to sound. And the person who invites the bell is the bell master. We call the wooden stick that invites the bell the inviter. There are many kinds of bells. Big bells that can be heard by the whole village or neighborhood, smaller bells that announce activities and can be heard all over the practice center, the bowl bell in the meditation hall that helps us with the practice of breathing and sitting. And then there's the mini bell, one of the smallest bells. It fits in a pocket, and we can bring it along with us wherever we go. It's very important to train ourselves to be able to invite the bell. If we're solid, awake, free, very mindful, then the sound of the bell that we offer can help people touch what is deepest within them. Practice. When you're a bell master and you want to invite the bell to sound, the first thing you do is bow to the bell. The bell is like a friend who helps you bring your mind back to your body. When mind and body are together, suddenly we're in the here and now, and we can live our life deeply. If you have a small bell that fits in your hand, after you bow to the bell, take the small bell and hold it in your open palm. Imagine that your hand is a lotus flower with 5 petals, and the small bell is like a jewel in the lotus flower. While you hold the bell like this, you practice mindful breathing in and out. There's a poem that helps you to bring your mind back to your body so that you can be truly present. If you are not truly present in the here and the now, you can't be a good bellmaster. So after having breathed in and out 2 times with this poem, you're qualified to be a bellmaster. Body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness. I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. May the hearers awaken from forgetfulness and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow. 4 lines. 1 line for breathing in, 1 line for breathing out, 1 line for breathing in, 1 line for breathing out. If you don't remember the gatha, it's okay. You can just breathe in and enjoy your in-breath, and breathe out and enjoy your out-breath. That will make you into a bellmaster also. But the gatha is very beautiful. You are now ready to invite the bell to sound. Make a half sound in order to wake the bell up gently. It's a very important warning to the bell and the people. You are being gentle to the bell so that it doesn't have a surprise. And you want to warn people that a full sound of the bell is coming so they can prepare themselves to receive it with their true presence. In a practice center, the sound of the bell is like the voice of the Buddha from within us, calling us home. When you wake up the bell, people will stop their thinking and their talking and will go back to their breathing while they wait for the sound of the bell. You have to allow them enough time to prepare themselves for the full sound of the bell, so you give them the time of 1 in-breath and 1 out-breath to be ready. They may be excited, saying something or thinking about something, but when they hear the half sound, they know they should stop. Stop thinking, stop talking, stop doing things, and prepare themselves to be ready to hear the bell. Then you invite the bell to sound a full sound. Breathe in and out deeply 3 times. If you enjoy breathing in and enjoy breathing out, then after 3 in-breaths and 3 out-breaths, you become relaxed, calm, serene, mindful. You can recite this poem to yourself as you breathe in and out. Listen, listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. Listen, listen means listen with all your heart when you breathe in. My true home is life, with all its wonders that are available in the here and the now. If you practice well, the kingdom of God and the pure land of the Buddha will be available whenever you go home to yourself with the sound of the bell. Telephone meditation. Don't underestimate the effect your words have when you use right speech. The words we speak can build up understanding and love. They can be as beautiful as gems, as lovely as flowers, and they can make many people happy. But often when we speak on the phone, we are too busy doing too many things at once to focus on our speech. The telephone is a very convenient means of communication, and the cell phone even more so. It can save us travel time and expense. But the telephone can also tyrannize us. If it is always ringing, we are disturbed and cannot accomplish much. If we talk on the phone without awareness, we waste precious time and money. Often we say things that are not important, while around us are all the joys of the present moment. A child wanting to hold our hand, a bird singing, the sun shining. When the telephone rings, the bell creates in us a kind of vibration, maybe some anxiety. Who is calling? Is it good news or bad news? There is a force that pulls us to the phone. We cannot resist. We can become the victim of our own telephone. Practice. The next time your phone rings, stay exactly where you are and become aware of your breathing. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. When the phone rings the second time, breathe again. When it rings the 3rd time, continue practicing breathing, and then pick up the phone. Remember, you can be your own master, moving like a Buddha, dwelling in mindfulness. When you pick up the phone, you are smiling, not only for your own sake, but also for the sake of the other person. If you are irritated or angry, the other person will receive your negativity. But since you are smiling, how fortunate for her. Before you make a phone call, breathe in and out 2 times, and recite this verse. Words can travel thousands of miles. May my words create mutual understanding and love. May they be as beautiful as gems, as lovely as flowers. Then pick up the phone and dial. When the bell rings, perhaps your friend is breathing and smiling and won't pick up the phone until the third ring. Continue to practice. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Both of you are on your phones, breathing and smiling. This is very beautiful. You don't have to go into a meditation hall to do this wonderful practice. It is available in your house or office. Practicing telephone meditation can counteract stress and depression and bring the Buddha into your daily life. Bowing. When we greet someone with a bow, we have the chance to be present with that person and acknowledge the capacity for full awareness within us and within the other person. We don't bow just to be polite or diplomatic, but to recognize the miracle of being alive and the potential each person has to be awake. To bow or not to bow is not the question. The important thing is to be mindful. Practice. When we see someone join his or her palms to bow to us, we can do the same. Joining our palms and breathing in, we silently say, "A lotus for you." Bowing our head and breathing out, we say, "A Buddha to be." We do this in mindfulness, truly aware that the person is there in front of us. We bow with all our sincerity of our heart. Sometimes, when we feel a deep connection to what is there in front of us, a sense of awe at the wonders of life, whether that be a flower, a sunset, a tree, or the cool drops of rain, we might like to bow in this way as well, to offer our presence and gratitude. When we bow to the Buddha, we are really acknowledging the capacity to be awake inherent within ourselves. Paying respect to the Buddha, when understood and practiced in this way, is not merely devotional, but also a wisdom practice. When we bow to the great bodhisattvas, we touch deeply the qualities they represent and feel deep gratitude for those who follow their example. In showing respect for the great bodhisattvas, we're also demonstrating our commitment to practice the bodhisattva path and cultivate the energy of understanding, love, and compassion in ourselves. Bowing in this spirit is a practice of meditation. Gathas. Breathing, sitting, and walking meditation are wonderful, but in our daily life we can be so busy that we forget our intention to breathe or walk mindfully. One way to help us dwell in the present moment is to practice with gathas, or mindfulness verses. Gathas are short verses that help us practice mindfulness in our daily activities. A gatha can open and deepen our experience of simple acts that we often take for granted. Focusing our mind on a gatha, we return to ourselves and become more aware of each action. When the gatha ends, we continue our activity with heightened awareness. At Plum Village, where I live in France, we practice gathas when we wake up, when we enter the meditation hall, during meals, and when we wash the dishes. In fact, we recite gathas silently throughout the entire day to help us attend to the present moment. When we drive a car, signs can help us find our way. When we see a sign, it can guide us along the way until the next sign. When we practice with gathas, the gathas can guide our daily activities, and we can live our entire day in awareness. Practice. When you turn on the water faucet, look deeply and see how precious the water is. Remember not to waste a single drop, because there are so many people in the world who don't have enough to drink. Water flows from high mountains. Water runs deep in the earth. Miraculously, water comes to us and sustains all life. While brushing your teeth, you can make a vow to use loving speech with this gatha. Brushing my teeth and rinsing my mouth, I vow to speak purely and lovingly. When my mouth is fragrant with right speech, a flower blooms in the garden of my heart. Before turning on the engine of your car, you can prepare for a safe journey by reciting the gatha for starting the car. Before starting the car, I know where I am going. The car and I are one. If the car goes fast, I go fast. The gata brings your mind and body together. With a calm and clear mind, fully aware of the activities of your body, you are less likely to get into a car accident. Gatas are nourishment for your mind and body, giving you peace, calm, and joy, which you can share with others. They help you to bring the uninterrupted practice of meditation into every part of your day. You can start with the gatas here. Find more in the book Present Moment, Wonderful Moment. Or you can write your own. Writing your own gatas is a long-standing Zen tradition, one that I inherited from my teacher and pass on to my students. I have arrived. I am home. Imagine you are on a plane flying to New York. Once you sit down on the plane, you think, I have to sit here for 6 hours before I arrive. Sitting in the plane, you think only of New York, and you are not able to live the moments that are offered to you now. But it is possible for you to walk onto the plane in such a way that you enjoy every step. You don't need to arrive in New York in order to be peaceful and happy. As you walk onto the plane, every step brings you happiness, and you arrive in every moment. To arrive means to arrive somewhere. When we practice walking meditation, we arrive in every moment. We arrive at the destination of life. The present moment is a destination. Breathing in, I make a step and another step, and I tell myself, I have arrived. I have arrived. I have arrived is our practice. When we breathe in, we take refuge in our in-breath, and we say, I have arrived. When we make a step, we take refuge in our step, and we say, I have arrived. This is not a statement to yourself or another person. I have arrived means I have stopped running. I have arrived in the present moment, because only the present moment contains life. When I breathe in and take refuge in my in-breath, I touch life deeply. When I take a step and I take refuge entirely in my step, I also touch life deeply. And by doing so, I stop running. Stopping running is a very important practice. We have been running all our life. We believe that peace, happiness, and success are present in some other place and time. We don't know that everything, peace, happiness, and stability, should be looked for in the here and the now. This is the address of life, the intersection of here and now. When we practice this meditation, we arrive in each moment. Our true home is in the present moment. When we enter the present moment deeply, our regrets and sorrows disappear, and we discover life with all its wonders. Practice. I have arrived. I am home. In the here, in the now, I am solid, I am free. In the ultimate, I dwell. This verse is wonderful to practice during walking meditation. As you breathe in, you say, arrived, with each step, and as you breathe out, you say, home, with each step. If your rhythm is 2-3, you will say, arrived, arrived, home, 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 coordinating the words and your steps according to the rhythm of your breathing. After practicing arrived/home for a while, if you feel relaxed and fully present with each step and each breath, you can switch to here/now. The words are different, but the practice is the same. This verse also works well in sitting meditation. Breathing in, we say to ourselves, I have arrived. Breathing out, we say, I am home. When we do this, we overcome dispersion and dwell peacefully in the present moment, which is the only moment for us to be alive. I have arrived is a practice, not a statement or declaration. I have arrived in the here and the now, and I can touch life deeply with all of its wonders. The rain is a wonder. The sunshine is a wonder. The trees are a wonder. The faces of children are a wonder. There are so many wonders of life around you and inside you. Your eyes are a wonder. You need only to open them to see all kinds of colors and forms. Your heart is a wonder. If your heart stops beating, then nothing can continue. When you go home to the present moment, you touch the wonders of life that are inside you and around you. Just enjoy this moment. You don't have to wait for tomorrow to have peace and joy. When you breathe in, you say, "I have arrived." And you will know whether you have arrived or not. You will know whether you are still running or not. Even sitting quietly, you may still be running in your mind. When you feel you have arrived, you will be very happy. You must tell your friend, "Dear friend, I have really arrived." This is good news. Taking refuge. When we find ourselves in dangerous or difficult situations, or when we feel like we're losing ourselves, we can practice taking refuge. Instead of panicking or giving ourselves up to despair, we can put our trust in the power of self-healing, self-understanding, and loving within us. We call this the island within ourselves in which we can take refuge. It is an island of peace, confidence, solidity, love, and freedom. Be an island within yourself. You don't have to look for it elsewhere. We want to feel safe and protected. We want to feel calm. So when a situation seems to be turbulent, overwhelming, full of suffering, we have to practice taking refuge in the Buddha in ourselves. Each of us has the seed of Buddhahood, the capacity for being calm, understanding, compassionate, and for taking refuge in the island of safety within us, so we can maintain our humanness, our peace, our hope. Practicing like this, we become an island of peace and compassion, and we may inspire others to do the same. Practice. Use this gata to return to yourself wherever you are. Breathing in, I go back to the island within myself. There are beautiful trees within the island. There are cool streams of water. There are birds, sunshine, and fresh air. Breathing out, I feel safe. We are like a boat crossing the ocean. If the boat encounters a storm and everyone panics, the boat will turn over. If there is one person in the boat who can remain calm, that person can inspire other people to be calm. Then there will be hope for the whole boatload. Who is that person who can stay calm in the situation of distress? Each of us is that person. We count on each other. The Five Mindfulness Trainings. The five mindfulness trainings are one of the most concrete ways to practice mindfulness. They are non-sectarian, and their nature is universal. They are really the practices of compassion and understanding. All spiritual traditions have their equivalent to the five mindfulness trainings as guidelines, signposts for how to respond to all of the varied and sometimes unhealthy choices that are available in our society. The first training is to protect life, to decrease violence in oneself, in the family, and in society. The second training is to practice social justice, generosity, not stealing, and not exploiting other living beings. The third is the practice of responsible sexual behavior in order to protect individuals, couples, families, and children. The fourth is the practice of deep listening and loving speech to restore communication and for reconciliation to take place. The fifth is about mindful consumption, to help us not bring toxins and poisons into our body, our mind, not to consume television, magazines, films, and so on that contain a lot of poisons like violence, craving, and hatred. The five mindfulness trainings are based on the precepts developed during the time of the Buddha to be the foundation of practice for the entire lay practice community. I have translated these precepts from modern times as the five mindfulness trainings, because mindfulness is at the foundation of each one of them. With mindfulness, we are aware of what is going on in our bodies, our feelings, our minds, and the world, and we avoid doing harm to ourselves and others. Mindfulness protects us, our families, and our society, and ensures a safe and happy present and a safe and happy future. When we are mindful, we can see that by refraining from doing this, we prevent that from happening. We arrive at our own unique insight, not something imposed on us by an outside authority. It is the fruit of our own observation. Practicing the mindfulness trainings, therefore, helps us be more calm and concentrated, and brings more insight and enlightenment, which makes our practice of the mindfulness trainings more solid. In the practice centers in my tradition, both monastic and lay people agree to observe these trainings to support our practice of mindfulness and living harmoniously together. No smoking, no drinking alcohol, and no sexual misconduct constitute part of the 5 mindfulness trainings to be observed at our practice centers. Anyone at any time can decide to live by the 5 mindfulness trainings. When we practice the 5 mindfulness trainings, we become bodhisattvas helping to create harmony, protect the environment, safeguard peace, and cultivate brotherhood and sisterhood. Not only do we safeguard the beauties of our own culture, but those of other cultures as well, and all the beauties of the earth. With the 5 mindfulness trainings in our hearts, we are already on the path of transformation and healing. Practice. The first training. Aware of the suffering caused by the destruction of life, I vow to cultivate compassion and learn ways to protect the lives of people, animals, plants, and minerals. I am determined not to kill, not to let others kill, and not to condone any act of killing in the world, in my thinking, and in my way of life. The second training. Aware of the suffering caused by exploitation, social injustice, stealing, and oppression, I vow to cultivate loving kindness and learn ways to work for the well-being of people, animals, plants, and minerals. I vow to practice generosity by sharing my time, energy, and material resources with those in real need. I am determined not to steal and not to possess anything that should belong to others. I will respect the property of others, but I will prevent others from profiting from human suffering or the suffering of other species on earth. The third training. Aware of the suffering caused by sexual misconduct, I vow to cultivate responsibility and learn ways to protect the safety and integrity of individuals, couples, families, and society. I am determined not to engage in sexual relations without love and a long-term commitment. To preserve the happiness of myself and others, I am determined to respect my commitments and the commitments of others. I will do everything in my power to protect children from sexual abuse and to prevent couples and families from being broken by sexual misconduct. The fourth training. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and relieve others from suffering. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I vow to learn to speak truthfully, with words that inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope. I am determined not to spread news that I do not know to be certain, and not to criticize or condemn things of which I am not sure. I will refrain from uttering words that can cause division or discord, or words that can cause the family or the community to break. I will make all efforts to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. The fifth training. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful consumption, I vow to cultivate good health, both physical and mental, for myself, my family, and my society by practicing mindful eating, drinking, and consuming. I vow to ingest only items that preserve peace, well-being, and joy in my body, in my consciousness, and in the collective body and consciousness of my family and society. I am determined not to use alcohol or any other intoxicant, or to ingest foods or other items that contain toxins, such as certain TV programs, magazines, books, films, and conversations. I am aware that to damage my body and my consciousness with these poisons is to betray my ancestors, my parents, my society, and future generations. I will work to transform violence, fear, anger and confusion in myself and in society by practicing a diet for myself and for society. I understand that a proper diet is crucial for self-transformation and the transformation of society.